This is Spins Fully Charged Recharged.
Welcome to Spins Fully Charged
Recharged
with Emma, Dave and Ashley.
Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Fully Charged Recharged.
Hello and welcome. Toilet. You look fantastic today. Do you feel good? Because you look good. You also.
How weird would it be if we could see everyone who's listening?
That would be, I was about to say that would be television, but no, it wouldn't be.
No, it wouldn't.
That would just be
weird.
Creepy.
That would be weird. Imagine if to listen to the radio show you had to connect on like Zoom or FaceTime or something.
To each other, yeah.
To like everyone listening.
That'd be bizarre. Cool. Like middle of a link and we're like, oh, sorry, there's someone else joining.
Yeah, let someone in there. I like your top this morning, Shauna.
Yeah.
Really nice. Cool. Can I borrow that at the weekend? So yeah, listen, all quiet. All the crack is in the show.
Yeah, sorry, I've got I'm spent for content, to be honest with you, lads. But listen.
My life is not that exciting. I'm going boxing today and then I need to do a grocery shop. Yay.
Nice.
I'm so cool. I'm not going to Chapel Roan because I'm not cool enough.
Oh, I thought maybe someone would bring you.
No. Just
we need to get fucking famous.
We need to get cooler. Right now, my biggest task of the day is to go to Lidl. See you later.
Bye.
I just wanna wake up. Welcome to Spins Fully Charged with Emma, Dave, and Ashley.
I think it's great.
Spins Fully Charged is on.
Hello and good morning. What's the story?
Good morning. How are we? What's going on?
Are we all well?
Lads, I went to the Blue Light last night.
Oh, the Blue Light.
The Blue Light.
Tell me what's that now.
For the very first time I went to the Blue Light. The Blue Light is...
What kept you from the Blue Light all these years?
I have no idea. Is it the highest pub in Ireland?
No.
Is that not true? No? Mm-mm. Maybe that's something else.
I'd say people in Kerry, if they heard that, would be like...
Fair enough. I thought there was something. It's something in Ireland anyway.
Totally open to correction on that, but I don't think it's even that high.
Right, okay. There.
Could be wrong.
The highest pub Dave's been to anyway.
Yeah, it is. It was.
Wait now.
But it was really interesting. You've never been, no?
Never. No, I don't even know it really.
We were just like sitting at home. We were like, we do something. We could drive out
to Dunleary. Such a nice evening.
Yeah, it was so nice. We could drive out to Dunleary. We could go to Malahide. They're like, oh, we go to Blue Light and just like have a look because like, it is quite high up.
Yeah,
and
so nice view.
Yeah, the view was absolutely stunning. I think it's out like near Stepaside because one of the boys lives out in Stepaside and that's his local.
Okay.
So,
unreal.
But I was like traveling up there and I was going, this is like ages away, right? Like
you have to drive, do you?
You have to drive away. Do you know what I mean?
I got a taxi from say Rathfarnham would be significantly cheaper than a taxi for me to get to town.
Right. Okay.
So like, if you were getting a few housemates into a car, wouldn't cost you much.
But I couldn't get over the price. Right, I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about this, but producer Callum isn't in the room to give me the death eyes, so it's fine. 2 points was 11.60.
That's pretty good.
That's unreal.
I mean, for this day and age.
Like, so good. So we were just happy out. And it was actually a ball. It was so, so nice. The nicest evening ever. It was so, so lovely. We just watched the sunset. The only problem is that the sunset is setting a lot earlier.
So much earlier.
So much earlier.
Quarter past eight, it was dark.
I went to the Blue Light of the moon
a couple of weeks ago and was watching the clock to be like, we need to go. Because if you don't go for sunset, what's that point?
Yeah, what's the point?
And like that. We were kind of watching the sun fade and the taxi up and it was like, quick.
Yeah.
Let's get one drink and sit out with this.
It was
then,
so fun though.
Oh, there's music and all up there as well.
Yeah, there was live music on a Monday night.
Lads, I want to go to the Blue Light.
I feel like I'm doing an advertisement
for it. How many times have I told you? The Dublin Mountains.
Yeah.
Spins Fully Charged.
Recharged.
Your number one hit music station. You're on Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling. There's Sunny Federa.
Good morning.
Hiya, Dave.
Hello. I went and got a load of Pure Power Nutrition ready meals for dinner for the week yesterday.
Oh, did you know?
I did, and I brought them into work because we had stuff to do yesterday late in the, afternoon.
Well, in our evening. 12 o'clock.
In our evening.
12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, so in our afternoon or whatever. And so I left them in the fridge. Anyway, I left work around 12:30 and I forgot my lunch, right? So I had to go back in. So I'm going to preface this story by saying, I know 100% that I'm in the wrong, okay? I don't need anyone telling me I'm in the wrong. I know I'm in the wrong.
We probably will still tell you.
Okay.
So you know.
So I had to run back in to work to get my lunch. So I had to drive around the building and I parked on the path.
Ah, you can't be doing that now, Dave.
Dave, that's terrible. What if someone tried to pass with a buggy?
You know you're in the wrong, Dave, do you?
Yeah.
So I knew that if I park on this path, I'll be grand. I'm only going in there for 90 seconds, right? I made sure that there was a big enough gap for people to walk by or if people were in a buggy or a wheelchair. There's a gate beside it. I made sure people could get out of the gate and I made sure people could drive past the car.
Yeah.
God, I don't know how there's that much space in that little area for all those things.
There was loads of spots.
I'm joking.
And I've parked there before as well, which is absolutely...
Oh,
like
so you've been in the wrong many times.
I've been in the wrong many, many times.
That's what I'm
right?
hearing anyway.
This is what I'm doing. Like, I just love illegally parking. I knew I'd only be 90 seconds, right? So anyway, I parked the car and I go upstairs and I get my lunch and I go, bye everyone again, and I go back down the lift. I was no more than 90 seconds. And I get in the car, start the car, I'm going to move off, and there's a note on my windshield wiper. And I'm going, hardly. That must have been there for ages. Someone must have put that there since I was parked before. Do you know what I mean?
Tell me it just said in the wrong.
Or it just said bad person.
And so I took the note off and I came back into my car and I read it and it just said, next time we'll clamp you. Next time we'll clamp you.
So ominous.
So it came from a person with the ability to clamp.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Because I think if it came from a parking person, they just clamp. They don't give you warnings. Do you know what I mean?
What was it written on? What type of paper?
It was written on a foolscap piece of paper. It had the lines in it.
Like refill pad.
Yeah, refill pad.
So random.
And just it folded in half. Next time we'll clamp you. And I was going, okay. I was 90 seconds, like probably even less than 90 seconds, getting from the car to work to back to the car. I thought, there is no way that I parked here, they noticed the car, wrote a note, went over to the car, put it under the windshield wiper, and then left.
Yeah, and I had a pen and foolscap page ready at the ready.
Who
as well.
The hell has a pen and foolscap page ready?
College student, like, messing with you probably.
Do you know what I mean? If you're like, Callum, give us a pen. Yeah, exactly. You freaked out. He freaked out.
And you just asked producer Callum.
Exactly.
Who is a walking
station. No one has access to a pen that quickly. Like, that's just bizarre.
It's probably someone messing with you in here, is it?
I don't know. But that's actually what Michaela Hayes texted me as well, because I put this on my Instagram story. Did you say it's you?
Who did you meet when you walked back into the building yesterday to pick up your ready meals?
Who did I meet? I've no idea. Did I?
Myself and
my
girlfriend.
Oh, you and Jess.
Yeah. When we saw you go back into the building...
No.
I said to Jess, my girlfriend, who was covering Ants at the time, no nepotism, she got the job fair and square, shall we mess with Dave?
It's feckin' always Jess.
Oh my God.
Now, this time was you.
So what we did is we saw you run into the building and I said to Jess, we probably got about a minute here to do something. She ran to reception of our building and asked, can I have a sheet of paper? I had a pen in my pocket and I was like, we're going to freak Dave out here. And I was like, what do I write? And the only thing that I could think of is something to do with clamping and bad parking. So we, like, you probably noticed on the sheet of paper.
I did not see this coming.
The paper was scrawled, like it was really rushed. And I was like, because I was freaking out thinking Dave was going to come at any time. I stuck the note on the car and then we ran down the end of the laneway.
Oh my God.
You little freaks.
There's a pub at the end of the laneway called Carabao or something.
Carabao.
And you can stand at the end of the laneway at an angle
glass.
So no one can see you, but you can see at the top of the way. And here comes Dave walking to the car. I've just put the video on the screen in the studio. Doesn't see the note at first. Then he starts to turn on his car. Then he clocks the note, opens the car door.
Okay.
Here we go. We're watching this.
This will go up at Mr. David Hammond on Instagram. If you watch it.
Oh my God. This
and then
is crazy.
He drives off, and then me and Jess panic, and then we run away so we're not spotted.
That is done.
Excellent. Because I remember thinking when I parked up and I was like 90 seconds, no more than 90 seconds. I remember going, do these people who are going to clamp my car have it ready? Like a load of notes ready. Next time we'll clamp you and just go out and put that in that car.
You spent hours thinking about that, I'm sure, yesterday.
Callum, that was fantastic.
Well done.
Brilliant.
Anytime you're in doubt, it's probably Jess. Jess signed our boss, unbeknownst to him, up for a Bible course.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and the details of his Bible course arrived in the middle of a management meeting. This is what Jess is capable of, guys.
You must have seen my Instagram story then. I went, this is perfect.
Yeah. I was trying to think, how do I get this on the show without causing any suspicion?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Brilliant. Well done, Callum and Jess.
Take a bow.
Top tier.
And just to celebrate, well done, Callum. Here's for the Taylor Swift. I can do it with a broken heart on spin.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Here is something that might seem quite obvious and make you go, wait now. Sure, clearly that was, they're very similar. Miley Cyrus essentially has been hit with a new lawsuit alleging that she and her songwriters copied portions of Bruno Mars' song When I Was Your Man in her song Flowers. Now we all know when we all listened to her song Flowers for the first time last March, 12 months sometime, we all went, oh yeah, that's like a response essentially to Bruno Mars' song.
Yeah, I can buy myself flowers.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah,
because it's kind of like Bruno has said this, all these things that he wish he did in kind of a more mournful state, like very sad that the breakup happened almost in his song When I Was Your Man.
I should have brought
these are the
flowers,
things I should have done, and then it's almost like a response. So you, I assumed my first listening, oh, this must have been a little bit of a shake hand situation, I'm going to take a bit of that, thank you very much.
Great.
You're joking. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't, right? Now I did do a bit of digging on this morning because I was like, sure, obviously Miley screwed in this case, but this sort of thing, the whole idea of offering writing credits to obvious sources of inspiration, it's become quite common practice. You might remember this situation when Olivia Rodrigo released Good For You.
Girl.
And quite quickly, we all said, hey, that's a Paramore song.
Yes.
From Misery Business. What's Olivia do? She adds writing credit, right? Because it's a musical inspiration and that is it. Job done. Easy peasy.
Happy days.
I'm cool enough to let you all know that that is the first time I have ever found that out.
Are you serious?
Did not know that.
Are you for real? Big news.
Not at all.
And you're actually a Paramore fan.
Yeah, did not know that.
I do love these stories. I love comparing the two songs.
I absolutely hate them.
Why?
I hate it.
Hey, don't tell me you hate this. I'm very excited to bring
nothing
this to you.
About your story is nothing that I hate about your story, but it's like the whole. There's only so many notes. There's only so many lyrics. There's only so many ways to write
you just
a song.
Heard those two clips, and you're telling me that's a direct rob.
But there is an infinite amount of combinations of those notes and lyrics.
Yes, that's what I'm getting to. Right, in this case. That Olivia Paramore example was mostly based around the sonic similarity, but in the case of Miley Cyrus, Bruno Mars, it's lyrical.
Lyrics.
And that's different. So there's no direct samples between Flowers and Bruno Mars.
Yes,
this is where it
different.
Could get tricky. So the new lawsuit filed on Monday. A company called Tempo Music Investments, they claim the Flowers includes unauthorized exploitation of several elements of Bruno Mars' song. Let's just go through the obvious ones first, okay? So Miley Cyrus, Flowers. Bruno Mars, When I Was Your Man.
I should have brought you flowers.
Miley Cyrus, Flowers.
I can take myself dancing.
Bruno Mars, When I Was Your Man.
Take you to every party, cause all you wanted to do was dance.
Miley Cyrus, Flowers.
And I can hold my own head.
And finally, Bruno Mars, When I Was Your Man.
And held your hand.
So they're saying any fan of Bruno Mars When I Was Your Man knows that Miley Cyrus's Flowers did not achieve all that success on its own. That it duplicates, and this is where it could get itself in a lot of trouble, duplicates numerous melodies, harmonic and lyrical elements of When I Was Your Man. I can't necessarily hear that, Aisling, can you?
Well, I think it's just like, it was immediately catchy because it reminded you of the Bruno Mars song.
I would agree.
Like, caught on so quick, maybe.
I thought they're like two massive artists. I thought they would have been. I know maybe it's just me being naive and childish, but I thought they'd be friends.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I know. And also, like, Flowers is what, 2 years old now?
Yeah, what took so long? It actually earned her first Grammy as well, so she had a huge success off it. They say that even specific chord progressions are similar. Again, from my reading this morning, and I've learned that the lyrical stuff won't necessarily get you sued.
Right.
It, obviously, unless it's like
it's the
full song or whatever, that there was like bits inspired by it.
Mm.
But the chords and the progressions and stuff, that's where she could be in trouble.
Really?
So that's
crazy.
They're even demanding that she can't perform it live until this is sorted.
Dear God.
She doesn't really like performing live anyway.
No,
that'll suit her down to the ground. She'd be like, oh great, sure, I'm not allowed.
Yeah,
I won't ever.
Do you remember he performed it at Marley Park When I Was Your Man?
Yeah.
And it was one of his like final tunes, and he said, after he sang the song, he went, I haven't sang that song in a long time. And I was like, that's now my favourite song.
And now he probably won't for ages because everyone just starts going, play Flowers.
Boom.
Play Flowers. Where's Miley? Here is Charlie XCX and Billie Eilish. This is called Guess. Here at Spin.
Spins fully charged, recharged.
Charlie XCX, Billie Eilish. It's called Guess, but some are now calling it the Knickers song.
The knickers.
No.
The knickers song.
Otherwise known as knickers.
Put on that knickers song, will you?
That's awful.
Right, just to let you know, after 10 o'clock this morning, if you want to win your way to see Dua Lipa at the Aviva Stadium in 2025, Michaela has your tickets all this week from 10 o'clock before they even go on sale on Friday. I've always listened to radio presenters say that, and I've always been like, I'd love to win my tickets before they go on sale.
I still think it's a scam. I don't know why she has them so early.
Mm.
I don't believe it.
That's really nice of you to say.
What's going on in this place? I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Dublin Travel with Just Eat's Cheeky Tuesday. You can get your favourite foods for less every Tuesday.
It's why she got a job here in the first place. She would have blown this whole thing wide open.
Yeah. I just needed to get in on the inside.
Okay. You're in too far now.
We can confirm that Michaela does have tickets to go. No. She's physical copies on her.
No, Aisling's got no proof.
Spins fully charged. Recharged.
Aisling, we are in our girly quiz era. Woo. We are popping up across the city, bringing the girly quiz to you, bringing it on tour. We'll be popping up, as I said, in different locations. But last week, we were in Blanchardstown Centre and some genius answers from men we met there. That video is now live on our Instagram if you want to giggle at official spin 1038.
For a second, I want to take you back to Electric Picnic. And at the festival, I was talking to somebody, don't know who they were, but they told me a cool story about Meath Camogie.
Shouldn't talk to strangers, Ash.
Only at Electric Picnic. And so I wrote down in my phone, in my Radio Bits folder, Meath Camogie pitch, okay? And for weeks, when we've been talking about stuff for the show, I've been like, what the hell is Meath Camogie pitch? So then yesterday I Googled it and I went, huzzah! There is something about Meath Camogie pitch.
I was wondering, she was sitting at her desk, she had her headphones on, she just went, huzzah!
And that only happens about once a month.
Yeah, what a weirdo.
Yeah.
So sorry, this obviously was a conversation that you had at Electric Picnic, maybe late into the evening or whatever.
Oh, yes.
No idea. Wrote down some quick notes thinking I'll know exactly what that means. And no clue.
Had no clue at all. Okay. And then when I read about it yesterday, I went, yeah, I do remember this conversation.
What does it mean?
A girl, yeah.
It must have been with a girl. I actually don't even know. So anyway, what's going on with Meath Camogie pitch?
Yeah,
I hear you ask. Basically, Meath Camogie are trying to build their own pitch for just Camogie teams because they're always having to
share
and wait for an available pitch from the hurlers and all the rest, the usual with women's sports. And the way that they're fundraising for it is through the bottle return scheme, deposit return scheme. So the campaign is called Your Plastic is Our Pitch.
Okay.
And basically they've set up all these collection points all around Meath and they're asking people to donate their bottles to the return scheme and they'll get the money from it and they'll build their Camogie pitch.
Right, okay.
Sorry, that's quite smart because you'd imagine that they would typically make more money if they just did, like, you know, say hypothetically in your local Super Value doing a collection box. You'd probably get more than 15 cents off people.
Yeah.
But this is an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
People are like, they can do that the Camogie too, girls.
Exactly, because they'll be like, oh, this bag is worth €4 or I just give it to the Camogie team.
Yeah.
And then you probably don't have to feed it through the little awkward machine as well. I wonder, I don't know what their collection points look like. But a good one for schools as well, you'd imagine.
Yeah, that's a really
imagine
good
show. Imagine all the kids in school collection and stuff. So they've set these up. They need to raise €500,000, which is a lot.
Dear God.
And they say that they need to collect about 2 million bottles. So they're going for like the 25 cent bottles. That's the big boys.
Oh, big boys.
So I don't think they factored in if they get a load of small cans.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway,
I'd say those girls' mothers are up the walls at home going, just collect the cans, fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There's only 50 bottles. We need 2 million. Anyway, so this is definitely a long-term project.
But what an achievement if in 3 years' time we get to this point.
Absolutely.
Or however long it might take. Yeah. That's class.
So I kind of want to do this here because there's tons of things in Dublin that I would love to see built. And I'm talking fun and quirky things, not just houses, obviously, though. So I want to be the human calculator for the deposit return scheme campaign today.
Okay.
And I want you listening over on 087-711-1038 to suggest something that we can build in Dublin or buy for Dublin that we can buy via the bottles and cans.
Yes.
And I'll tell you how many cans we need for the scheme.
Okay. I just can't stop imagining that sitting across from me now is a literal human calculator.
Yeah, there you are
with all your buttons. Right, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, so on 087-711-1038, get your quirky ideas over to us for what we could have in Dublin that would just give us all a bit of a lift.
Yeah.
And we'll decide how many bottles we need and we'll pick one project and look, we might do something.
We'll see what we can do.
Especially if it's only like 60 bottles or something. That'd be great.
Yeah, okay, so your quirky ideas, go rogue, go big, 087 711 1038. And you never know, Spin HQ could become a recycling centre.
Spins fully charged.
Recharged.
Morning. I was telling you there about a cool thing they're doing in Meath with the deposit return scheme. There's a crowd.
They're always doing cool stuff in Meath.
Ah,
always.
Flat out, yeah. So a crowd, Meath Camogie, are trying to build their own pitch just for the Camogie players. And they're using the deposit return scheme as like a form of fundraising. They want people to donate their bottles to Meath Camogie and then they're going to use the money to build their pitch. They need 2 million bottles for €500,000. They're going on the price of 25 cents per bottle.
Oh, I was thinking.
However, we all know that the smaller bottles only glean 15
yes,
cents.
But there's more of them.
Yeah. I don't know what there's more of. I think it's risky to assume that you'd be getting 25 cents per bottle.
Definitely more smaller ones, I'd say.
Yeah wouldn't you think?
Because cans as well.
Yeah. So we're going to do this for Dublin and we've asked you to tell us what fun, quirky things would you like us to buy for Dublin with the bottles, and we're going to calculate how many bottles we need. But I'm going to go off 15 cents per bottle. Just to be safe.
So it's going to be at least this amount.
Exactly.
Well, Marius was in touch.
Public toilets.
Thank you, Mario.
Marius, public toilets. Okay, so I've priced up one Portaloo. It's €1,095 for one.
Okay, really? And do you know what? I've just realised it's not this at least. It's at most it's going to cost this.
Yeah.
So it's actually better news.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to need at most 7,300 bottles per Portaloo.
Okay.
And we're going to need more than one.
Yeah, that's but 7,000 is doable.
I think we could do 7,000.
I
think
so, we don't need more than one. There's not that many people here.
I would like the whitewater rafting facility to return.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. I don't know how much that would have cost.
Yeah, actually, that's true. It would have cost everything. It would have ruined our lives. What about an adult-only playground in Dublin? We have enough for the kids.
Right, I've priced up a playground. And a playground says between 25 to 50 grand.
My God, what are you searching? I found €5,000.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
This was American websites. It's probably jumbo size. So I've gone for €40,000 for the playground, which would be 266,666 bottles.
Wow, a lot less than the pitch. The pitch is a lot.
Yeah.
John was on.
Has to be a bungee jump platform from the top of the square. Yeah.
Yes.
Bungee jump platform from the top of the spire. There you go.
Nice. Thank you, John. Look, it's your lucky day. I've priced that one up as well. That's going to cost about €75,000 to set that up.
That's not that
Isn't
bad.
That crazy.
Right.
Why are they not doing that?
And that would be 500,000 bottles.
Imagine paying your insurance from the deposit return scheme. That'd be fantastic.
I know.
That'd be so good.
We got a message in from somebody humorously saying how much would it be to get another bike shed for Leinster House.
Yeah.
That cost €336,000. So that'll be 2.24 million bottles.
Wow. Actually, that's ridiculous. That's more than the bloody pitch.
That really puts the shed into perspective.
Yeah.
I feel like the news sites should have ran with that.
Yeah.
Like that the girls in me that are looking for a pitch for this less than that price.
For that thing. Yeah.
What about, do you know when you go to tap on a bus in another country and it's literally no problem at all, but for some reason here, it's this like big thing? How much would that cost?
I've priced that one up as well, Dave. It's your lucky day. So it's been estimated that would cost €100 million to install. So in bottles, are you ready for this? 666,666,666 bottles.
Oh my God. If only we had a surplus of, say, 13.8 billion.
Who'd need the bottles? In a perfect world.
Get ready to go.
It's showtime.
Fully charged with Emma, Dave, and Ashley.
Good morning. How are we?
What's going on? How are we?
Last Thursday on this
so
very
cool.
show.
All right.
All right. You guys put a pet tag in my handbag.
Yes.
For a very specific reason. That pet tag's job, like it would do if you actually placed on your pet's collar, would track me like I am a dog.
Yeah, essentially.
And the idea behind this was you were trying to keep me out of the brand new Zara.
Yes. Well, to be fair, you were trying to keep yourself and you wanted our help, and so we've decided
well,
to help you out.
Well, this is true.
You wanted to save some money by not going into the News Hour.
Exactly. The News Hour is back open. It's been closed for months and months and months across from Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. Way too close for me when it comes to work.
Very close to
work. It was causing problems. It was like my extracurricular daily activity to see what was new in on the daily. If there was a sale, I knew the rails back to front, upside down, to the point where on a sale rail, I'd say, oh, someone finally bought that skirt.
That's a bad time.
It's a bad time, yeah. I was genuinely quite friendly with the security guard at this stage.
Yeah.
Gave me loads of advice when I was going to Thailand earlier in the year because he'd just been recently with his wife. Just really good times. Then it closed, reopened last week, and I was starting to get nervous because I was excited for the day but also dreading the day because I'd kind of moved on with my daily routine.
Yeah, you recovered, I suppose, from your problems.
I did actually, yes. It was quite the healing journey. So anyway, you place this peck tracker in my bag to see to make sure that I would stay at least a week to gather my thoughts and not get too excited by the new Zara. Since then, you've both been in, talked at length about how beautiful it is.
Stunning. It's incredible. It's a game changer.
Shopping experience.
I have a confession to make.
Now, we haven't looked at the pet tracker because we said we wouldn't look at it until Thursday.
No. Does it not go off?
No. I can reveal I haven't been to the new Zara.
Good.
Okay.
But I have been to a Zara.
Where?
Emma, that's disgraceful.
I couldn't wait a moment longer.
How dare you?
Aisling, what are you talking about? You're with me in the Zara.
Aisling Bonner.
That's terrible.
This was at Blanchardstown Centre last Thursday. We were there for the girly quiz. Placed, set up directly across from Zara. What a tease. Mere hours after you gave me
this
pet collar.
It's called a test. Well, and you failed.
I didn't fail. You said I can't go to the new Zara. You said I can't go. You didn't say I can't not go to any Zara.
What was the point of not going to the new Zara?
I didn't buy anything. The Aisling did.
Ha! I got two dresses.
Aisling.
And I was late for our shift.
Oh my God.
Had a great time.
That's why you were late for our shift, because you were buying stuff from Zara in Emma's face.
Yeah, you were. She was in the dressing room.
We went into the change rooms together.
Do you know what you are? You're an enabler. You're an enabler.
Aisling, you're part of the problem.
No, I'm with Emma. The rule was the new Zara.
Mm.
Okay? So she just needs to stay out of the new Zara till Thursday.
You are awful.
I'm just a girl.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Oh, lads, yesterday was a day and a half for me.
Oh?
I was telling yous the last couple of days on the show that I had a tall order.
Oh, yes.
Poor El Mr. Plops, the beloved cat that spends most of the time in my apartment but is owned by a restaurant on the street, had a scratchy old ear.
Mm.
And I self-diagnosed her with ear mites.
Yes.
Okay, so on Friday was asking me, what should I do? Should I contact the restaurant and ask them to bring her to the vet? Should I just bring her myself? Kind of in the end, I emailed them and said, I'll happily bring her, but I don't have a cat box. They said, we would love if you would bring her to the vet.
Of course they would.
Of course they did. And they said, we have a cat box waiting for
that's
you.
So bad. My Sorry, God. That's bad out. That's
funny. Anyway. I like it.
Anyway, yeah.
It's ballsy.
Listen, I offered, so what can I say?
It's ballsy.
So yesterday I had a vet appointment booked for 2:30. I went home yesterday after the show and had a bit of trouble getting Plops to the apartment. I was calling for ages out the back. She kind of comes in via the balcony and I was like, this will be the one feckin' day she doesn't show up.
Yes.
And I'll have to cancel my appointment. But anyway, eventually she came. I locked her in. I went to the restaurant. I got the cat box, right? And I put the cat box kind of in the hall because I didn't want her to like sniff it and then be like nervous, because I know our cats at home, once they see the cat box, they start foaming at the mouth. They're like, no. They are terrified. My dad has to like effectively blindfold them and like dunk them down ways into it. Like, it's an operation.
That's so funny.
Or at Mr. Plops, you're having a clean.
No. I've never been in one before.
So because the cat box is from the restaurant, she knew the scent.
Right.
So I had the cat box in the kind of hall and she was sniffing all under the door like mad for ages because she could smell it. Anyway, just as I was ready to leave, I brought it out and she immediately walked over to it, sniffed all around, and then like clockwork strolled in,
right.
Sat down,
easy peasy.
Like, happy days, tucked her paws in.
You have the dream cat.
And I closed the little door like it's a full on prison and she sat there purring away,
happy out,
no bother on her. And I was like, you're just the cutest thing, but also I'm about to like ruin your day.
Yeah.
Fully. So I headed down the stairs and out the apartment, and that's when things took a turn.
Oh no.
There was a brand new frequency hitting the streets of Dublin yesterday afternoon, and it sounded like this. Oh, no.
So cute. You're okay.
I was like talking to her the whole way. She didn't like the buskers. She didn't like the cars. And it's actually when I was out with her, I was like, oh my God, it's so loud.
So loud. There's so much going on. You heard the Lewis, you heard buskers, you had music, everything.
Motorbikes. I was like, stop. Yeah. So anyway, I don't have a car and I live in the centre of town. So the option that I chose was to bring her on the Lewis, right? And this was mainly because producer Callum said, it'd be kind of funny if you brought her on the Lewis. But like really, it was I thought the best way to, like, it's not so bumpy, like it's not as turny like a bus. I was afraid of putting her in a taxi in case the taxi driver would be like, no, she's going to wee or puke or poo in my taxi. So I put her on the Lewis and she got even more vocal.
Oh dear.
Next stop, St. Stephen's Green. A light from Rofton Street Shopping District.
Maybe she just really hates Stephen's Green.
Oh, that's actually quite sad. It's a kind of a mournful meow, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. And I just didn't know what to do with her. But in the end, she was actually grand. She kind of calmed down. And then when we were back out in the street, she was louder again. So we got to the vet eventually.
Were you right with your diagnosis?
I was.
Well done.
Yeah, but I'll get there in a second. Because first of all, vets are an interesting place.
Okay.
I've never really been at a vet. Maybe once or twice. They're very like the uncosiest doctor you've ever been.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like metal table, like very like old style. There's no glamour at all.
Yeah.
And then there's like just the funny names, because there's like burly men coming in being like, I'd like a prescription for Fluffy O'Connell. And then like I registered her as Mr. Plops. So then the like, vet was like Spanish or something. He comes out, he's like, Mr. Plops.
Oh my God.
I so I brought her in anyway. And he's like, hello, Mr. Plop.
Oh my God.
And she was so good. She didn't scratch anything.
Senor Plops.
Yeah.
But she was shook. Oh
yeah,
my God. So yeah, her ears did have mites in
them. Well done.
And he kind of put solution in and cleaned it all out. But like, it was funny. He was like, this is going to itch, Mr. Plops. And as soon as the stuff went into her ears, her back legs start going ballistic,
no,
trying to scratch her ears. So I'm there holding her legs as they're going mad.
Oh, stop.
Anyway, she got a bit of a solution on the back of her neck and a vaccine and took her home. She wasn't talking to me for a while. But
you got sorted in the end. Yeah,
it all worked
out. Fair play, yeah.
Well done, girl.
Oh, I was sweating. And on the hottest day of the year, I was like, oh my God. But yeah.
And she's talking to you again?
Oh yeah, she slept over last night.
Oh good.
We're all friends again.
Do you give her a treat?
I think it's fair to say it's time for adoption.
Yeah, I got her the deluxe pouches.
Nice.
Spins,
fully charged. Recharged.
We have a question for you this morning. And the question is on 087-711-1038, voice notes are welcome. What do you hoard? What are the things that you just cannot throw away? This is a weird one, right? Because I never, ever thought of myself as a hoarder. I used to watch like TV shows and be like, why do people keep these things?
Yeah.
Like stupid things, like receipts or, I don't know, magazines and things like that, newspapers. I feel like people just hold on to things for no real reason. And then I realised, oh my God, I'm a hoarder. Every single day after we finish this show, we plan tomorrow's show, right? And we have a sheet that basically is it's like a full grid of the entire week. And we talk about what we're going to talk about every day on the show for the week, right?
Any ideas written, yeah.
And so every single Friday, producer Callum gives us another one of these sheets to fill in for next week.
And I usually shred my old sheet.
Yeah.
I say, goodbye week.
Yes, good, but that week is done. Put that in the bin and it's finished.
At the end of every week, I catch mine. I probably rip it into 10 parts and then I put it in the bin.
And I say, roll on the weekend.
Yeah. So what I do is I put it underneath this like kind of little, almost like a bookmark or something, on the shelf beside my desk or beside my microphone here.
I've seen you do that.
Yeah. I have them here. Hold on.
Oh my God.
I have them
here. Jesus, Dave.
What the hell?
There's about a year's worth of
show plans
here.
Stop it.
And I have no idea why I keep them. I also have, obviously, this week's.
Yeah, well, yeah,
go on,
handy.
Give a little preview for tomorrow. Go on, run a joke.
No, I've nothing on. Nothing for tomorrow. But I mean, this thing goes back to, like, there's a black and white one for some reason from the 10th of June.
Oh, that's from the medieval times, that
I have one from colour printer.
The 22nd of January. I've one from December. I've April. Like, I have them from the last, basically for the last year. I have 41 of them.
Why?
I don't know. Okay. I just love keeping them because I don't know. I think is it stupid because I'm like, say for example, I also have the script from Des Kelly the musical right in my desk. Okay, I also have like the script from when we did the first Panto. Right, I love the thought of like being 70 and reading back on our like show plans from the week ahead and being like, what did we do on the 17th of June in 2023? You know, we talked about Donna Bate. Don't know why. I have no idea why.
Are your notes from that day just Donna Bate?
Just Donna Bate.
Well, that's us. That's not very... I don't really give more detail. Like anything else in there?
No, not really. there's loads and stuff, obviously. But I mean, like, it's just so bizarre. But I thought it would be nice to, like, obviously go, you know, go back through it when I was 70.
Yeah.
I realised...
Oh, you have a real little... nostalgic.
Yeah, I think I do. And I never really noticed it. I just remember thinking every time I put it away, I'm like, oh, that would be funny to read back on years to come.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm curious of. That's what we're curious of. 087-711-1038. Voice notes are welcome on this. What do you hoard? What are the things you just cannot throw away? Have a think about it in your house or something. Is there loads of one thing? Let us know.
Maybe you're one of those people who just say, I reckon one day that'll be back in fashion.
It's me with skinny jeans.
Never let that go. Get in touch. Are you a hoarder, or what in particular do you hoard?
We want to know, what do you hoard? What are those things that you just cannot throw away? 087-711-1038. I was basically saying that I have prep sheets from every single day when we finish this show. We prep tomorrow's show and we prep the days after those kind of shows. We prep all week. And I have kept all of those prep sheets. Those kind of like little timetable things that were what we know is going to come up on the show the next couple of days. I've kept them for over a year. And the reason being is because I'm like, I like the thought of looking back at it when I'm 70 and be like, what did Emma, Dave and Aisling used to talk about? And what was topical back then and things like that?
I mean, I guess it's like having a newspaper headline because...
Pretty much.
Well, a very silly newspaper.
Yeah.
I think it's risky though that you keep them in a corner of the studio, which they could get thrown away, mate.
Yeah, that is true actually. But I've been just going back and like having a look at, just going down memory lane, guys.
Memory lane. What have we done?
We've done some wild stuff. July 8th. On Friday at 7 a.m. we did John Corner.
Oh yeah, I remember John Corner.
Do you remember John Corner? I don't know what that was about.
Feels recently, loads of Johns.
On July 1st on a Friday at 8 o'clock, half 8, Aisling bonds with Dad.
Nice.
How to bond with your dad.
Must have been a good day.
Because remember, Dave was heading away with his dad and I was doing something.
Was that what that was?
And I wanted to bond with my dad.
You wanted to bond with your dad.
Well, let's see if you know this one. The 17th of June, Friday at half 8. Ash Story.
Well done, Dave. Really good note taking there.
Oh, great time.
What about this one? Friday at 7:30. Competition.
Oh, brilliant. That's great, Dave. Really
or Thursday on the 10th of June at 7:10. Salad cream float.
I think we should start giving you our sheets, which have a little bit more context and detail.
When you're 70, how on earth would you know what any of this means?
You're going to think you're going mad, even if you're not.
The 3rd of July, I've written down bin story.
Lovely.
These are great. So yeah, what do you hoard pointlessly? Maybe they do have a point. I'm just judging you. What do you hoard? Maybe the things that you just don't throw away ever. Let us know. 087-711-1038. I keep about 40 prep sheets over the last year for this show beside me, beside my microphone here in studio, and I just have them for like one day when I'm 70 years old. I'd like to like look back on those,
make a little book out of them. Maybe,
just see what we did on the show and see what was topical, what was cool back then.
Yeah, what was hot.
Exactly.
What was in?
We
all
were
the rest.
Hot.
087-711-1038. Maria, are you a bit of a hoarder? You are.
I am a bit of a hoarder. Yeah, I have loads of bags of teddies and cards and everything under my bed that I just keep.
Teddies and cards. So why do you have so many teddies, first of all?
I have I had teddies from when I was younger. I just kept them.
Right.
Yeah, I actually had a massive sack of teddies for ages, and I ended up getting rid of them during COVID. Mm. But I kind of felt like they all had little personalities and like little souls.
It's actually quite sad. My friend actually did a big job around COVID as well with all her teddies. Yeah. And like, I remember for years when she was totally grown up, I was like, "Are you ever going to get rid of those teddies?" And she was like, "No." And eventually she did, and it was quite sad.
I couldn't look them in the eye.
No. They were your pals, like. And are you talking birthday cards then as well, yeah?
Yeah, every year I keep birthday cards because I like the poem on the inside or the message or even the picture on the front.
Same.
That's so bizarre.
It's kind of nice. Do you ever go back and have a look through them all, though?
I would.
I do, yeah. I take the box out and I look through them.
And is it worth it?
Yeah, it is. I like it.
Really? Okay.
Because it just reminds me of, like, even postcards that people sent me from when they're on holidays and stuff is really nice.
Cute. I've often thought of making a scrapbook of just all people's messages from the cards to finally get rid of them, because I keep them all as well. Like, my 21st cards are in my bedroom. Like, weird.
That's
10
mad.
Years ago.
That's cute.
But I'd love to cut them all, add all the messages and put them in a scrapbook. But then I don't want to mess with the cards. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot to consider.
The only thing, like, birthday cards I keep are from my granny. And my granny doesn't even write that much. Have a great day.
I'm a bit like that as well.
But my granny, I know, would really focus on what the verse says.
Yes.
She'd have read the verse to make sure it's right. So they're kind of her own words, I guess. Very cute. Well, keep them forever. Thanks, Maria.
No problem.
Good luck, Maria. Have a great day.
Bye.
This is cute. Orla just says, "I always feel too guilty to throw out cards from birthday and Christmas," which I totally get.
I know.
I'm totally on board with Orla.
It just feels so ungrateful.
But like, I don't do it. But I'm just saying, every time I do throw it out, I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. But I'm never going to care when I'm like 20 years later of happy birthday from your godfather.
Yeah, especially when there's nothing written on it. I still feel bad. Yes.
But actually, it's so funny. Yesterday, I was like kind of doing a bit of cleaning in the house, and some of my housemate Brian's birthday cards were still around, because do you know the way the birthday cards would be displayed around their birthday for say 6 weeks or so? Then I'm like, I kind of want them gone.
Yeah, time to go.
But I'll just put them with the books. I'm not going to throw them in the bin, because he might want them again.
Yeah,
I only came across some of them yesterday, yeah. Also standing by is Kieran. It's your daughter that's a bit of a hoarder, is it?
So Hannah keeps her school books from, I suppose she has them from about junior babies, maybe.
Oh, wow.
In the sitting room. I don't know why.
Are they taking up a bit of space, Kieran?
A bit of space? Kids are taking up a lot of space.
So they probably just rule the house now. So how, like, a big stack of books in the corner of the sitting room?
It's in the unit, so we kind of have a colour impress, and then underneath it's just full of maths from junior infants, English writing from senior infants.
Kieran, I think that's great. If I had them lying around, it'd probably be good for me to catch up on some basic addition and division, to be honest with you. Wouldn't do me any harm. Do you ever?
A bit of light reading at night time, detached writing. Do you remember doing that,
join the upright.
Listen, Kieran, thanks a million.
Thanks, lad.
Good luck. Bye.
That just reminds me of another thing I sorted during COVID. I had tons of old copies from when I was in primary school.
Oh, now that's cool.
Yeah. But loads of it is crap. It's just like writing lines and whatever, like sums. So I actually went through them all and I pulled out all the pages that were funny.
Oh yeah.
So now I have like a little tiny stack of just the goods.
That's dead.
And I got rid of all the crap.
That's
so
really smart.
So I would recommend you do
these
that.
The Aisling copybooks and all.
Yeah,
that's
so
cool.
Oh. They used to be like, that's mine. They'll say Aisling.
As in the brand of copybooks.
Yeah.
I still remember that logo so perfectly.
Same.
1-2. This is Spin 103.8 on air. Dublin's next radio star.
Come and get it if you got it.
I'm guessing a lot of moving parts in the background on this over the last few months, because it was earlier in the year when we told you that we're on the lookout for Dublin's next big radio star. We want you to come here. We want you to do a radio show. And now we have our final six.
Yeah, I said there is a lot of moving parts in the background because we get to do the fun part.
Yeah, exactly.
This is really, really cool. We had applications open across the month of July and we held live tryouts in Dundrum. And we are excited to reveal the final six to you this week. So every day we're going to be introducing you to someone new, a new voice that'll pop up on Spin over the next 6 months.
And make sure to support them as well when they're doing their first show. Yeah, send a little encouraging message.
Yeah, a little text being like, hey, you're doing a great job. You're not as great as Emma David Ashing, but you know, you're doing a great job.
Exactly like that. We spoke to Chloe yesterday. She was our first of the final six. Each finalist gets their own Sunday night show on Spin for a month. We're going to give them loads of training and mentorship as well. And this morning we have to ring Tammy and give her the good news that she is also in the final six.
This is all depending on them answering the phone, or else this will fall on its arse.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great.
But we hope for the best. Share some more good news this morning.
Hello?
Hi, is that Tammy?
Yeah.
Good morning. It's Emma, Dave and Aisling calling you from Spin.
Hi, Tammy. How are you?
Hey, Tammy.
Oh, Jesus. I actually got the phone.
Girl, you're going to need to watch your language
yeah,
now.
How dare you, Tammy?
If you're going to be on the radio.
How dare you say Jesus?
Where are you right now?
Oh, geez. Sorry.
We're only joking with you, Pess. You're all good.
What are you doing?
I'm actually cleaning out the salon, but like, oh my God, I wasn't expecting a call.
You work in a salon, do you?
No, I actually own a salon.
Oh, you own a salon. Amazing. Very nice.
Is this a hair salon, a nail salon?
Eyelashes.
Eyelashes.
Brilliant. Oh, nice.
So still hair.
I've been working very hard and trying to get those individuals going, but I'm still struggling. Listen,
you applied.
Oh, I might not need to. I might be seeing you around here soon. You did apply recently for Spin's On Air Talent Search. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Tammy, congratulations. You've made the final six.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, you might be thinking, what the hell does the final six mean? Well, it means you're going to get your own show every Sunday on Spin for an entire month, and you're going to have loads of training and mentorship as well, Tammy.
So it's your own show every Sunday for an entire month.
That actually suits me perfect.
Amazing. To the ground, says you.
That'll work with the salon.
Have you always dreamed about being on air, being a radio presenter?
Yes, kind of. I really wanted to get into the media side, so I was... My friend sent me this opportunity. To be honest, I didn't even think I was going to make it.
I was only applying
for the class play.
You've obviously done very well.
Everybody here thought you had a great personality, so...
My God, guys, thank you so much.
No problem,
Tammy.
I think it's just settling in now, isn't it? Yeah, sinking in.
Well done. We'll see you really soon. Congratulations.
Bye. See you.
See you, Tammy.
Talk to you later. Okay, so that is Tammy sorted, Chloe sorted. Who else is getting the call this week?
We know.
I hope it's me.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I like it, yeah. Just wanna wake up.
With Emma, Dave, and Ashley. Emma, Dave and Ashley. Spins Fully Charged is on. Let's go.
Cannot believe it's 17th September. It's very strange.
Mad, isn't it? It's flying.
Really flying.
And it looks like the good weather's going to stick around as well. Just went to the balcony. The sun is absolutely
supposed to be nice this week, yeah.
Amazing day.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Splitting the stones.
My boyfriend Alex and I are becoming like so in sync with our diets. It's kind of disturbing.
Well, go on.
So a couple of weeks ago, I think I told you this on air, that he was like flying out to America and his flight got cancelled. So he ended up coming home on the bus.
Yes.
And I was making spaghetti bolognese that night for what was supposed to be just myself, but he ended up having to come home that night and literally at the exact same... And I went to the shop and I got garlic bread as a surprise for him. And he texted being like, would you mind getting some garlic bread?
Oh.
And I was literally walking out of the shop with it in my hand.
Yeah.
Anyway, a similar thing happened the other day. On Thursday, we were like texting about what should we have for dinner this evening, and we were kind of like feeling a bit lazy or whatever. So I said, what's quick and easy? Quiche? ? And he goes, haha, sure. And he goes, with bread and butter? And I, at the exact same time, said, with chips maybe, or just bread and butter? But another level of this was, we both spelled butter, butter.
B-U-T-H?
B-U-T-H-E-R.
Oh,
he spelled it butter.
That's so
funny. He's American.
Funny.
And I spelled it butter as well, and I was like, I love you.
Recharged.
I want to bring you back to a couple of weeks ago. I did this on the show where we came up with our own corporate jargon.
Yes.
Our own kind of corporate phrases that you could go into a boardroom meeting today in work and take these into them and use them. And hopefully maybe even they would stick next week.
Yeah.
Right?
Because sometimes they go over my head, but we were saying as well, it'd be good to modernise them.
Yeah. But like, you know what I mean? Different phrases like, oh, we'll streamline that. You know what I mean? Things like that.
Low-hanging fruit.
Exactly. So we came up with our own. I know I came up with, let's put a bow on that. Meaning it's done, it's finished, it's fantastic.
I was saying if people were overdoing it, almost too many cooks spoil the broth, like thinking, let's get out of the WhatsApp group here and just make a call. That's
excellent.
That was so
absolutely
good.
Mine
were all kind of bad. I think
they were, but you're not really a corporate kind of gal.
No, you're not.
You're much more of a, you know, by the picket line.
Yeah, kind of
a person. Well, it's me and Emma are just company people, you know.
Yeah, I'm an agitator for change.
Such a unioniser, I'd say.
Oh wow.
So anyway, we put this video up on TikTok, and a load of people started commenting their own made up corporate jargon, and it works so well, right? So I want to give you a couple of them. So make up your own corporate jargon. We're buzzing, but we're not making any honey.
Very good.
That's excellent.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, that person.
Yeah,
that
very
is
good.
Fantastic.
When someone's talking in circles, land your plane. I love that one.
Very good. Oh my God, people are great at these.
Land your plane is so, so good.
You feel really bad now, Aisling.
Yeah.
In one part of the meeting, just say, we're not looking to eat the cheese here. Then later in the meeting, say, this is where we're looking to eat the cheese.
That's so stupid. But...
let's put this in the thought fridge and snack on it later.
So
you get so corporate good. And slimy. Let's put this in the snack fridge, yeah, guy. Yeah. Or
you know what? Like, there's an episode of The Office that
yes,
they missed
yes.
with Michael Scott trying loads of new phrases. That would have been great.
Let's not salt the water before adding the spaghetti.
That's great.
Very, very good. This one, I just think, is fantastic. I don't know what it means, but obviously maybe it means like more like this is pointless.
We can interpret it whatever way.
Yeah, from Molly O'Flaherty. She says, we're painting the front of a burning house here.
Hey, Molly, that's fantastic.
Excellent.
We're painting the front of a burning house here.
Oh,
I thought
my God,
it was amazing.
It's so really good.
Going with the same kind of vibe. The house is on fire, but we're standing in the garden. So obviously, there's lots going on, but we're fine over here.
Oh, okay.
Our maybe it's like our team is doing well, their team is doing awful.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah. And then this one I thought was absolutely brilliant. This was the most corporate one I could think of for so many reasons. And it's from Coaster Chick. And she said, today I trialed. You pull one thread, you unravel the whole jumper.
Ooh. That's good.
I'd obviously mean, I think that what that means is like the things are very unstable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you pull one thread, just the whole jumper comes down.
Leave things be for a while.
And I just think that is so corporate.
Ah, lads, keep them going. That's great.
I know, they're
where
really,
did
really
this
good.
All begin, this like talk?
I don't know, but I just remember having a meeting in here and someone said a phrase and I was like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
And do you remember, Callum? No, you weren't here.
No, I wasn't here, but it just one thing that really irritates me about corporate world, and it doesn't really come into radio too much, but it's when did the word for the PowerPoint turn into deck? Can you create a deck on this?
Oh, I
what?
Hate
I've
that.
Never heard of this.
Neither have I.
Oh my God, I've heard that loads.
Yeah, you get it a lot when we're in sales meetings that you're not never in and sometimes I'm in, and these big wigs will be like, we'll put a deck together. No, you're creating a PowerPoint. You're making a presentation.
I've never heard that in my life.
Let's create a deck.
A deck? Does that even make sense as a word to present something?
I think it's
a
like a deck of slides. Like, I don't know, it's gross.
No.
Wow.
I want to throw my shoe at so many people when I hear the word deck.
I want
deck.
To play Snap when I hear deck.
Yeah.
Not do a presentation.
That's funny.
Spins fully charged.
Recharged.
I have a new, what you would call, I guess, a Roman Empire. Roman Empire being that TikTok trend that went around, must be a year ago now, where it was how often do guys think about the Roman Empire, and apparently it's a lot more often than we realised, something that you just can't stop thinking about. Ever since last weekend, I can't stop thinking about rocks.
Rocks.
Big rocks. I was in England over the weekend and my boyfriend Jack was like, oh, do you want to go for a walk? I'll bring you somewhere where we used to go when we were kids. It's this really place called Burnham Rocks. I said, yeah, sure, why not? Let's go for a walk. So we arrived, right? This place is 183 hectares of the maddest looking rocks you have ever seen. Like, I was utterly confused and amazed when I stood out first and looked over. It almost felt like an African plain situation, which obviously it wasn't, but just that kind of like momentous rocks of all different shapes and sizes. Like, how, what the hell were these formed? Like a playground for adults and a playground for kids. Loads of kids were there with their families, like literally playing on rocks and jumping up and climbing and climbing down.
Oh, there must be nothing to do in Knaresborough, is there?
This is in a place, yeah, a little bit close to there. It's in North Yorkshire. But you know, when you just have never seen anything like it in your life. Like every single rock I wanted to see. Like, we wanted to climb all of them.
It wasn't a mountain.
No, it wasn't a mountain.
Just random rocks.
It was flat ground.
Wow.
You're way down and you're looking up at these monsters. Some of them were huge. Some of them were isolated on their own.
Fun.
Some of them were all kind of together and you could climb between them. Some you could get up really high. I know his friend, we were chatting to his friend later that evening, his friend and his friend's girlfriend did the summer solstice with a picnic there and were watching the Euros on an iPad sitting up on top of them. So it's obviously a place that people just go in the area. But I mean, fascinated. Every information board, I was like, stop now.
Why, just because the rocks were big?
No, the shapes, Dave, were really incredible. The way they were like, almost some of them hanging in the balance, yet so structured. Just really unusual shapes and structures. I don't know, it really did.
As a woman who frequents the Dublin mountains, hearing you speak with such passion about the rocks makes me think they must be truly spectacular.
They truly, truly were spectacular.
But to be fair, I also thought with the way she describes the Dublin mountains were spectacular, and then I went and I was like, yeah, it's all right.
How would you stop that?
fair point.
For every single one that we climbed up, you felt like, you know, saying, everything the light touches is your kingdom.
Oh,
you know, like,
yeah,
they were just so cool. It was very much that
you
vibe.
You would do
so well as a car salesman.
No, man. Because I don't care about cars. I care about these rocks.
But you would
cool.
You'd just be able to make sure, tell people how great everything is.
No.
I'm sold. I want to go now.
Exactly. I wouldn't tell you if I didn't think they were great. I would be like, oh, it was grand. Like, they were class. They were formed over 325 million years ago. So essentially it was this big, huge mountain, essentially. Ice Age dinosaurs, I don't know, you tell me.
They trashed
it. A big river kind of smashed through, broke them all up, hence why they are the way they are, and the shapes are just fantastic. And ever since...
Did you Google this?
Darling, I have been swatting up on Burnham Rocks since last Saturday.
Burnham Rocks?
Darling.
That's what they're called. This is my new thing.
And thank you, darling.
And if I didn't need to make money, and I do love being here, of course, but if I didn't, my God, I would just love to be a geologist now. It's my new Roman Empire. I love rocks. Why are you like this? What happened? Did a dinosaur step in you? Why'd you look like that? That is my new thing. Curious. Do you not have anything like that that is like a little, if you could have the time and financially it was okay, just to step away from whatever you're doing in life and just get swatted up on something.
I'd love
what
to
would
able
you
to,
like to do?
I'd love to be able to build stuff. I just think that'd be so cool. I'd love
like
to go back to I'd love to be able to build a building or a house or like even just to do up parts of the house.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like say when someone's like, do you ever go to someone's house and they're like, yeah, my dad built this, and we're like, what do you mean he built this?
I know, I'm like, how, what the hell?
Or do you ever see on TikTok loads of really like young women doing incredible things to their houses themselves and like, you know, doing up old furniture, and I'm like, I wish I could learn how to do it.
I think I'd like to do a bit of archaeology. Always fancied that. Do you remember those little kits you used to get when you were a kid? I was like a little plastic dinosaur bones in a little thing and you chip away at it. I was fantastic at them.
My God, the two of you in the Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear something before I wrap this up that I think you're both going to hate me for?
No, if you signed
if
up to a geology class, I swear to God.
I know. Worse somehow.
You got a book.
There's like a visitor centre and there's a charity bookshop. And while I was there, because I was just feeling so inspired by the English countryside, I bought a Shakespeare book.
You are the most West Brit person I've ever.
Isn't that so bad?
Congratulations, you're a Protestant now.
Stop that.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
We're in the middle of a game called A Second at the Cinema, where we play you 1 second of a film. And if you can guess it correctly, we'll give you 2 IMC Cinema passes. Sounds impossible, but it's not. It's been won many times before.
Lots of people want to stab at this. And obviously, there's so many movie buffs out there. Obviously, that's not my personal thing. I've seen about 8 in my life. But lots of people have seen many more, including, I'm assuming, yourself, Shay. Shay, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
What are you up to?
I'm just on the way to Pavilions.
Oh, very nice.
A bit of shopping.
Yeah, right. A few bits.
Shay,
yeah.
Have a listen to this clip. What do you think that song is?
Movie.
It sounds like Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The not taller.
The not Marv guy.
Not Marv.
The small fella. Yeah.
Oh, Dave, is it?
It's not. I'm sorry, Shay. A great guess, though, Home Alone. Really, really good guess. It wasn't, but thank you so much for playing, Shay.
Cheers, man.
That's
have a great
cool.
day.
No problem.
Have
thanks very
day.
Much.
Thanks,
good luck,
Shay.
Bye-bye.
We're supposed to get a win on this today so it doesn't roll.
Yeah,
Shay
cool.
was real nice as well.
Oh, yeah, Shay's such a nice person. I hope he has a lovely morning at Pavilion.
Same.
Say hi to him if you see
I hope he gets a discount.
So do I. Hi, Kevin.
I'm good, thanks.
You've got the giggles. Why?
Well, I was just guessing that film, so I'm guessing by ringing me back is correct.
Oh, well, we'll have to wait and see.
We'll have to see.
That's a confident man now. Hang on, let's have a listen.
What is that movie?
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
What moment in Die Hard do you think it is?
Your man falling, the Gruber falling off the building.
Oh, very good.
I've not seen it now, so I'm not sure.
Gruber played by Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, yeah.
You're wrong, my man.
Kevin.
Kevin.
I'm so sorry, but thanks for giving it a lash, Kevin.
Thanks, bye.
See you, Kevin, bye.
Talk to you later, bye. Okay,
well, one more.
Come on.
This is hard.
Niamh, what are you up to this morning?
I'm feeding my child.
Oh,
very nice. Well, take a break from feeding the child and have a listen to this clip, Niamh. What movie do you think that's from?
It's from Kronk's New Groove.
Kronk's New Groove.
Not Kronk, maybe.
Is there another movie? Kronk is a character in that movie, but I'm pretty sure there's another.
The Emperor's New Groove?
Emperor's New Groove.
Let's check.
Pull the lever.
Kronk.
Wrong lever!
Oh my God,
Niamh. Oh my God, you freak. How did you get that?
Niamh, spot on.
Yay!
How did you get that? You must have watched it recently, did you?
Yeah, no, I've grown up watching Disney. Yeah,
oh my god, that was niche Disney though.
It was real niche. Pull the lever, Krong is fantastic. Well, what a line! Eve. What a brilliant line, Niamh. Congratulations, you just got yourself 2 IMC Cinema passes. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Well, good luck. You can feed your child now.
Okay.
Talk to you later. All right. Job well done, Dave.
Fair play.
Good. I'm really, really happy.
Were you getting nervous?
Yeah, I was. A little bit sweating.
Dave, do you notice Emma's hair's real greasy this morning?
Stay with the hair.
Do you know what's going on lately? I ran out of my usual hair oil. I put a little bit of hair oil at the bottom of my hair.
By
just
the way, Aisling knows
ends.
This. She wouldn't just call Emma as having greasy hair.
I bought a new one and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I was like, why does my hair look so gross? It's like for promoting hair growth and like meant to be a leave-in treatment, not something that'll dry, so it looks gross.
It doesn't look gross at all. It just looks wet.
No, joking, it just looks wet, but I know the feeling when it doesn't wash out.
You're like, so annoying. Yeah, can't wait for the shower today.
Get ready for the sound. Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning.
Spins, fully charged.
Recharged. Love this? Catch Fully Charged weekdays on Spin 103.8 with Emma, Dave and Aisling.